Hello, and welcome to the CWF Gamecast. This is episode 44, and I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Unfortunately, in this episode, we don't have my co-host, Tom Barbalay, with us. He was sick this week. He had some sort of food poisoning, I believe, and as a result of that, he wasn't able to record, so we're recording a solo cast, and we're actually recording on a different night. We usually record on Tuesday evenings, Tom and myself, and then it takes me, you know, some time to do the editing, and then I release the podcast the following Monday, like late Monday, early Tuesday. But today, we're actually recording. It's Sunday, the 20th of December, and I'm recording after having come back from a really fun concert, which I'm going to talk about a little bit in my week in gaming. First off, I just want to say that we're going to be changing things a little bit in the podcast. We're going to be giving you a heads up at the start of the podcast, or at the end, or somewhere in there anyway, on what we're going to be talking about in the next episode of the podcast. So if we're going to plan things out more and give you a heads up, so that way our listeners will be able to say, oh, we listened to episode blah, 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 and in episode XYZ, they're going to be having so-and-so as a guest, or they're going to be talking about whatever, or there might be a review of something or other. So this way, you can just kind of know in advance when you want to tune in and when you want to pay extra attention to episodes. Hopefully, you're subscribing to us on iTunes, and if you are, you know, you would get all the new episodes automatically. But if you're not, if you're just getting them on a blog, or maybe you're just picking and choosing which particular episodes you want to get, you might want to know in advance on something more than just, you know, a title of an episode would be helpful to you. So we're going to be trying to do that. And we're also going to be having a stricter formula on what we're going to do. It's still going to be a conversational podcast. We're still going to have Tom and myself talking about different issues. We're going to talk about our weeks in gaming. We're going to talk about other things. We're going to have guests on. You can expect that we'll still go on our tangents. We'll still have all sorts of different topics and just kind of let things, you know, start off and then go on their own. We'll have, I guess, like talking points is probably a better way to phrase it. So we'll have a talking points or a list of different things that we know we want to talk about, and then we'll go over those. But then we're also going to have some regular sections of the podcast. We're going to have, as usual, our week in wargaming, but then we're going to do highlights of upcoming events in New England. Tom, I'm sure, may want to highlight upcoming events in Vegas. Although Tom is my co-host, and of course, you know, he does live in Vegas, this is really a New England and a historical gaming podcast. So we're trying to talk about things that are going on in New England, and talk about historical gaming. We branch out from that. We talk about different kind of gaming and different events, and even things that aren't gaming. But we're going to try to stick to that. So we're going to have segments, like I said, for our week in gaming. We have segments for things going on in New England. And we're going to, you know, kind of branch these out and just kind of cover all that. So it'll be some new stuff that we're going to be doing. Of course, it would have been better if I had a chance to do this episode with Tom. I know he would have some wonderful things to say about all this and very interesting things. But that's just a brief overview of where things are going to be going with the podcast. So with that, I want to start, you know, the bulk of everything with my week in gaming. Now, this week, I didn't really do a whole lot of gaming. I usually head out on Wednesday evenings, and I play with a bunch of guys at Battleground Games and Hobbies. We tend to rotate between the location in Plainville, which is 25 Taunton Street, and the location in Abington, which is, it's on Bedford Street, 1501 Bedford Street, I think. And so we rotate back and forth usually, but we tend to play historical games, Flames of War, War at Sea. We do board games and all sorts of different things. We just kind of get together and have a really good time. So this week I didn't actually get to play anything, but last week I did. And last week I got to play something on last Wednesday, which was after we had recorded the podcast. So I guess technically it's something I could have, been in my week in gaming. But last week I got together with some guys at Plainville, and we were going to play some Flames of War, but one of the guys didn't bring his stuff, and I don't really have a whole, you know, 6-run points ready to go. I get a bunch of tanks, and I still have to work on my infantry and everything. But with the winter and the holidays and everything, it's been on the back burner, which isn't really an excuse, but it's my excuse anyway. So we actually played board game. We played Carcassonne, and that's a really good game. It's a great game, great family game. If you've never played it, I highly recommend it. There's some great reviews about it on BoardGameGeek.com. And it's basically a tile game. You draw tiles from a pile. No rhyming pun intended. So you draw these tiles, you take turns going around, and then you place them down, and you're trying to get them for the best match. And the game is based off of the medieval French town called Carcassonne. It's real, it exists, it's still there, and it's a famous town because of its wonderful medieval wall that goes around it. So in the game, you have all these tiles, and they represent, you know, roads and cities and pastures and abbeys and all sorts of different things. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to arrange the tiles in such a way so that you get points for completing roads, for completing cities, for placing farmers, and all that kind of stuff. So you have a bunch of these little people, meeples, I think is what they're called. And you place them down on the tiles as you place them, and you score points. And at the end of, you know, the game, when the last tile is placed, whoever has the most points wins. And there's also different ways to calculate points, and there's tons of expansions. It really is a fantastic game. It's one of my favorite games to play. But one of the guys picked it up, thought it would be a fun game. And his family. So he got that and wanted to try it out. And it had been a while since I had played, but I had played it, you know, a bunch of times. So I was pretty familiar with the rules. But thankfully, on Wednesday nights in Plainville is a group of Euro gamers who come and play. And they come in, oh, I guess, maybe noon or 1 o'clock, and they leave at like 9 or 10. So they get a solid day of gaming in. And this group, I think there's about 100 or so of them, based in maybe Rhode Island, or at least Southeastern or Southern Mass. And it's a smaller group who comes up, but there's a huge group of them there, like board gamers, historical board gamers, Euro gamers. So they come and they do that. So they're hardcore. And it was really nice because they helped us clarify some of the rules I was not really up to date on, because, like I said, it had been a while since I played, and no one else there had played, so we had done that. And we also played a game, I think it was that week, of Shogun, or as it's more commonly called now, is Samurai Swords, and it plays almost like Risk, but it's in medieval or, you know, feudal Japan, the age of the warring states and all that kind of stuff. Oda Nobunaga, if you've ever played any of those old, I think they're Koei games on the Nintendo and Super Nintendo, it's like Oda Nobunaga was one of them, and Oda's Ambition and all that kind of stuff. So it's like the age of the warring states in Japan with the daimyos and, you know, your samurai and everything. So that's a really good game. It's a very long game, but it's put out by Milton Bradley. I think they still make it, but they used to make it in the original form ages ago, back when with the original Axis and Allies and Fortress Europe and was it Fortress America, I guess, and a bunch of all those broadsides and broadswords or something like that. But anyway, so this plays like Risk, and everyone has their own provinces that you control. They're all on the map, but you determine what you have through a bunch of cards, and they get shuffled and then, you know, dealt out to each player in turn. So you have all these different provinces. You have no idea where they're going to be on the map, so you could be all over the place or together, and the goal is to try to fortify where you're at, or we have the most provinces together, and then branch out, and then eventually you have to kill everyone else to become shogun, or, you know, military dictator of Japan. It is basically what it is. And you start off with three armies. You can only have three armies, but they start off with a decent number of troops. You got your different daimyos, or your generals for your armies. You got samurai with swords. You got gunners with, like, arquebuses, which are, like, primitive rifles, I guess, would be the best way. Although they're not rifled. They're closer to muskets, because they're not, you know, like, rifled inside the barrel. You have those. You have bowmen. You get peasants. Ashiguro is what I believe they would call peasants with, like, spearmen, basically. So we played that, and that was really good. There's some diplomacy involved with it unofficially, so you can make deals with, like, other players to say, like, oh, you know, if you attack such and such province, then I will attack the same player over here, or do you want a truce for a turn, or things like that. So I was kind of all over the place, but I had a bunch of islands, so I tried to fortify, and I wasn't really where I wanted to be. So I did some advancement. And then I was like, this, you know, isn't going to work out, because I was basically between a block of one player on basically the eastern side of Japan, northeastern, and a block of the other player on the southwestern. And I was like, I'm going to get crushed here. They're going to go right through me, basically, except for some of my islands above them. So I tried to do a Dunkirk by slowly withdrawing my armies from provinces and pulling all my units back so that I could then rotate. Unfortunately, you get money or koku, which is a measurement of rice necessary to feed one person, I think it is, for a year. So you get koku based on the number of provinces you have divided by three. So basically, every three provinces you have, you get one koku, and you use the koku to bid on different things, to build castles or fortify them, to choose who goes first, to hire ninja or ronin, or build units and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of pulled back faster than I thought it was, so I didn't really have enough koku to do much of anything. And then people just kind of, my opponents came in and took things, and I kind of was getting my butt kicked. Luckily, early in the game, I took out one of my opponent's armies, and then him and another opponent were going at it. And I'm sorry to say, the sounds you're hearing in the background is one of my buddies, I think it's Sally. She's tossing her litter box around. She's redecorating her cage. Normally that's something I would edit out in post-production, but I think she wants to be a star on the podcast. She's appeared once before, actually a couple times, I think. Once before in the CWF Gamecast, and once before in the Stone Age podcast, her and Malcolm. So you might hear them in the background, and I do apologize for that. If you've listened to other great podcasts out there, in particular the What Would Patton Do podcast, or WWPD Tales from the Front, I believe it is, who I want to give a shout-out to those guys, but I'm going to give a shout-out again later on in the podcast to them. In, I think, a couple of the episodes, you hear some kitties and other animals in the podcast. So there is a precedent for that, I guess. And I consider that to be one of the great podcasts out there. One of the best Flames of War, if not the best Flames of War podcasts out there. So, like I said, there's a precedent. But anyway, back to medieval feudal Japan. I had taken out one of my opponent's armies, and then him and another opponent kind of were going at it. So they were bashing it, and then I was trying to pull back, but then each of my armies was getting torn apart. But one opponent lost like almost all of his armies, and so then it was me and this other opponent, and we were basically a tie, more or less. I could have potentially have won long-term, even though I was losing really badly. But from where I was situated, I could have then done a resurgence and come back, because the other guy lost all three armies. And when you do, you're out of the game, but your people who are on your provinces still exist and fight back. So, you know, they don't just like disappear and provide an open board for someone to rush through. But it was possible where I could have built up and then worked my way through. And, you know, we would have a big thing. And we don't really know who would have won. But we gave up on that because it was getting late, and we wanted to play Carcassonne, which I talked about, obviously, beforehand in the podcast. And if I had planned this out like I should have, instead of just sitting down and deciding, let's record my podcast for the day. But if I planned it out, I would have talked about Carcassonne after talking about Shogun, a.k.a. Samurai Swords. But anyway, so we did that, and it was a really good night gaming. Got home late, but that was a lot of fun down in Plainville. And then they played again this past Wednesday, which I unfortunately wasn't able to get to. My wife was sick, and I was feeling a little under the weather myself, so I stayed home, and actually I fell asleep after dinner right away and slept for like 14 hours straight, which was nice because it was much needed. So that's basically my week in gaming. There are a couple other things that I could talk about there, but I want to talk about them separately outside of the week in gaming. So I want to move on next to... Well, I guess I want to do the shout-out for What Would Patton Do. I want to give all the guys, but especially Steven, over at What Would Patton Do, a.k.a. WWPD, Tales from the Front, News from the Front. News from the Front. And I want to give them a big shout-out because, first of all, they're fantastic. And if you are a fan of Flames of War, you will have noticed on the Flames of War website, you know, flamesofwar.com, you'll have seen on the front page that there's a big old graphic with a thing saying to go to What Would Patton Do? And there, highlight on the Flames of War website. I guess they've gotten thousands and thousands of downloads on their podcast as a result of this. But Flames of War wants to promote the Flames of War community, so they want people to send them an email by emailing editor@battlefront.co.nz. If you know you own a podcast or if there's a podcast you like, and send it to them. So if you're a fan of us and what we talk about with Flames of War, what we talk about with other stuff, please email them. I would email them. I don't want to be conceited and say, hey, you know, we're doing a podcast and we talk about Flames of War and stuff. So we'd like to be on your front page as, you know, a podcast. But, you know, send an email to editor@battlefront.co.nz if you like what we do and you think we should appear on the front of the Flames of War website. But anyway, the reason why I'm talking about all this is because of the What Would Patton Do, WWPD. And that's a great website. It's, you know, whatwouldpattondo.net. It's a blog. It's a podcast. It's fantastic. But Stephen is the owner of the blog, and I think he owns a podcast too. And Stephen, if you're listening, which I think you are, because I think you said you started to listen and that you've become a fan, so yay and thank you. But if you're listening, please correct me if I'm wrong. I'd love to hear from you in an email. But Steven over there had sent a comment actually on our blog, which is, you know, wargamingforums.com, in response to episode 42 of the podcast. And actually, was it episode 42? No, 43. I'm sorry. Episode 43 of the podcast. I get this numbering confused because episode 42 is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. And episode 43 was the last episode I did where we talked about a bunch of things, but in particular spent time talking about World of Warcraft Cataclysm. But Stephen had posted a comment on our blog, which I strongly suggest that you do. I'd love to hear from you, whether what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear more of. But he let us know that there was a problem with the encoding on our podcast because it was, like, really slow in the beginning. And that's because I decided to do the editing and post-production for the podcast like at, I don't know, 2 in the morning or something, because I was hurrying to get it out. And the way I had done it, I didn't do it right, so it was really slow in the beginning, and I had fixed it, but I didn't upload the fixed version. So iTunes actually has the bad version of the podcast, episode 43, and Stephen came across it and mentioned it to us, and you know, I was very appreciative, and I still am, Stephen, very appreciative that you let us know. And, like, he posted the comment at, I don't know, like 10 in the morning or something, and I posted a reply, like, within a couple minutes, I think, just, you know, apologizing for the error, because it's embarrassing, actually, is what it is, but thanking him for it. But then I had sent him an email and wanted to thank him again, and, like I said, the error is resolved, it's fixed. If you go to the blog and go to episode 43, you'll see that it has the correct version of episode 43. iTunes, however, does not. We're still working on that. But, you know, just wanted to thank him. But he had said that he started to download the CWF Gamecast and was liking what he was hearing and was just kind of getting into it. So that was really cool. I started to follow the What Would Patton Do podcast, I think around the same time, I guess. And you know, it's a really well done podcast. They do a lot of in-depth analysis for Flames of War. You can tell that they know the units, they played the game for a while, they know the rules. They've talked about going to some tournaments, going to some events, and all sorts of stuff. But it's a group of guys, they know what they're doing, they get along really well. You can tell they're really good friends. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I think it's my favorite gaming podcast, which, you know, having a gaming podcast, I probably shouldn't say that another podcast is my favorite. I should say, hey, the CWF Gamecast is my favorite. It's what I love to listen to, and it's the best one out there, and blah, 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 blah. But I'm kind of become a bit of a fanboy for the What Would Patton Do podcast. So I like to listen to the Stone Ape Cast, and I like to listen to the What Would Patton Do podcast. I'm also kind of getting into Tabletop Hooligans, although I have some issues with them. But anyway, and the Tabletop Battlefields is another favorite of mine. But What Would Patton Do is my favorite Flames of War podcast. It's fantastic. Steven, you and all of your friends do a wonderful job. And if you're ever up here in New England, if you're ever in Massachusetts, I want to get together with you. I'd like to hang out with you, spend some time, maybe get a game in. I'm learning how to play Flames of War. I'm sure I suck at it. I don't know everything, but I'm eager to learn. So if you'd like to give a newbie some time, I'd be really into it. But hopefully, in the new year, maybe there might be some crossover between what we're patching do and the CWF Gamecast. We think maybe we might be able to work something out, you know, be guests on each other's show, and, you know, like, in other things like radio, something like that would never happen because you're competitors, you're working against each other. But with podcasting and with gaming in general, it's such an inclusive and caring hobby where I find, like, people really just want to help each other and, you know, promote the community, promote the hobby. So there's no, I don't think you find animosity or anything like that. I mean, unless you're playing, you know, fantasy, Warhammer Fantasy, and you play in a bunch of greenskins, because then you get to worry about, you know, your black orcs taking out your gobos or something. But otherwise, you know, there's nothing like that. So, you know, maybe moving into 2011, we might see that there'll be some crossover for there, and maybe we might be having Steven or one of the other guys as a guest, and maybe Tom or myself, or maybe both of us would be a guest over there, perhaps. But, you know, that's in the future. And anyway, I just want to give a shout-out. Remember, head to whatwouldpattondo.net and be sure to look up WWPD News from the Front on iTunes, and please subscribe to it. They have 7 episodes out right now. The most recent has an interview with Wayne Turner, who I think works for Battlefront. They have a couple other interviews throughout the episodes. And I technically, you know, they have 8 episodes because they started off with episode 0 and said it's counting. The first episode is episode 1. So technically, I guess they're up to 8 episodes worth. Although, with the number of system, they say episode 7. But, you know, you can get that on the blog, which I give you the address for, or you can find them on iTunes. Look up WWPD News from the Front. When I tried to look for them, I had a little trouble because I was looking for What Would Patton Do? So you want WWPD. Subscribe to it. Listen to it. Love it. Share it with your friends. It's fantastic. So anyway, moving on. I was hoping to keep this to a half-hour podcast, but we're actually, we're not doing so well with that. We're getting past the 20-odd minute mark, I guess. And I still have more I want to talk about. So next, I'd like to talk about World of Warcraft. And this week, actually, I guess it started last week, was the beginning of the Feast of Wintervale. World of Warcraft has in-game events to correspond with most holidays. They cover things like Day of the Dead and Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day and, like, all sorts of stuff. But Feast of Wintervale is their Christmas holiday season event, and it is my absolute favorite. You get to do all sorts of things. You get to go and help out Honeywood Pastures, I think it is, which is, like, the in-game, you know, goblin company who supplies all the stuff for Feast of Wintervale. So you have to help them, like, recover stolen goods, and you work, you give cookies and milk, gingerbread cookies, actually, that you make, and milk that you buy in-game. You don't use an in-game money, not real money, for Great Father Winter. And he's, you know, like the Santa Claus. Wow, Sally's just going down. Guys, I'm really sorry about that. She's having a lot of fun decorating over there. And I would see things take control of me. I don't know when they actually get very far with that, but if she keeps it up, I'm going to do my best to try to solve that. But like I said, I'm sorry, and I'm just going to try to keep on going, and maybe she's going to settle down. I hope. So Great Father Winter is the World of Warcraft version of Santa Claus, St. Nicholas. And so, you know, you get him cookies and stuff, and then you have to go and find Metzen the reindeer, who's like the Rudolph, I guess, because he disappeared or was kidnapped or something. So you got to go rescue him. And she's really noisy. I'm sorry. We're going to resolve that and be right back. Hang on. Okay, so sorry about that. And actually, by the time you hear this and that it goes live, you're not going to notice a whole lot of, you know, time out. You probably hear a couple seconds worth. But I took a few minutes, actually, to go and adjust things, and she's still redecorating. But anyway, Metzen the reindeer, who is famous like Rudolph, was kidnapped by some pirates, but after Cataclysm, which is a new expansion, he's been moved, and I actually haven't found him yet, but you have to go find him, and then there's a bunch of a whole quest line which involve, I guess, finishes with you fighting the Abominable Grinch, who's, you know, like the Grinch, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, Dr. Seuss, and there's a bunch of other stuff. If you're a tailor, you can make Christmas clothes, and, you know, you do all sorts of stuff, but it's fantastic. There's all sorts of stuff to do, and Christmas is one of my favorite times of year, and it's just a great time in the game. So I'm really excited that that's going on. I gotta start doing those quests for it, which I'm working on. And it's really interesting because with Cataclysm, and again, I have to apologize. This has just been a bad recording with that bunny. I'm sorry. Anyway, with Cataclysm, they had moved things around and cities got redecorated and stuff. So it's a little different. I'm not really sure how things are going to play out this year with the Feast of Wintervale. Before Cataclysm, you know, people were maxed out at 80 and you would go and hang out in Dalaran, which is a huge city, a neutral city, where people from both Alliance and Horde could hang out. And one of the achievements for Feast of Wintervale was you had to go and be turned into a snowman in Dalaran and then dance with another snowman. So that would be easy enough. But then another achievement that they introduced last year was you had to go and you had a BB gun, like from A Christmas Story, you know, with Ralphie, and, oh, you shoot your eye out. But you had to go and get that, and you had to ping, or, you know, shoot but not kill and not hurt. It was just like a fake, like a plastic bullet, I guess. People were in certain class and race combinations. So, like, a Dwarven Paladin or, you know, a Night Elf, blah, 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 or a Blood Elf, whatever, and stuff. So you had to go and do that. And Dalaran was, like, the place to do it because, like, everyone hung out there. So you could just kind of go and you'd be like, ping, 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 and you'd get them. Actually, I think you had to throw snowflakes on them. I'm sorry, not shoot them. Yeah, snowflakes. I'm very sorry about that. So you had to, like, hit them with snowflakes and stuff. But now with the level cap raised to 85, there's no real neutral city anymore. People are kind of going back to their own areas. So it's harder to do that unless you're in, like, a battleground. And I would say hang out in Wintergrass and do it. But again, you know, no one's doing that. And I'm not sure majority of people, I should say, are at 85 now. So they can't do the Tol Barad new battleground, which is, like, the new Wintergrass. Basically, so I'm not really sure what other battlegrounds people are going to be doing, but do a little research, talk to some people, talk to friends, talk to your guild if you're in one, and just see where people are going, try to get that achievement. But that's probably going to be one of the more difficult ones. So like I said, I'm not really sure what things are playing out. One other thing I want to mention though with Cataclysm is I just hit level, well, I hit level 83 a while ago, but I'm like 83 and a third or 83 and a half. So I'm down in Uldum, I'm not really sure how you pronounce it. And if anyone from Blizzard or, you know, any other WoW fans are listening and realize that I butchered the name, please accept my apologies and please tell me how to pronounce it correctly, because I would like to learn how to. But anyway, I'm down there and I discovered the Indiana Jones in-game character named Harrison Jones, I believe. So he's down there and there's a whole quest line. Of course, it involves archaeology and you get to go digging stuff. And Uldum is like Egypt, really. They got like their version of the Nile running through the middle of the zone. And, you know, you got a fertile region in the middle, and then it's like nothing but sand on either side. And you got these hidden ruins of stuff, and you get to go into or whatever. And it turns out this is where one of the, you know, original, like, founder kind of things are, ancient machine things. Kind of like how up in Alduar, you have all that kind of stuff from the makers and everything. It's like the same thing. But anyway, Indiana Jones character in game. Of course, they don't use Indiana Jones because that's copyrighted and everything and trademarked. But Harrison Jones, who is the Indiana Jones type character, is down there and you go into this like temple and you do some stuff. So it's kind of like Raiders of the Lost Ark / Temple of Doom kind of right now. So some stuff goes on and there's a bunch of quests and I'm working my way through those, but I've taken a break for Feast of Wintervale, which, as I said, is my favorite. So they got a bunch of those going on, and just really cool. It's something I hadn't expected, actually, but they did a really good job. So if you're playing Cataclysm, that's a great thing, era to get into. So once you hit 83, make sure you leave Deepholm, make sure you leave Stonecore and all that areas, and then I don't care where you are in, you know, the World Pillar Fragments, just go up to Uldum and do your thing, because it's fantastic. It's just, it's really cool. So I want to say two thumbs up to that. That's probably going to be an that I'm going to pull out in post-production. But anyway, at this point, I do want to move on because this episode is going longer than I had thought. It's getting close to be a half hour. So anyway, at this point, I want to give some highlights for upcoming events. First of all, I want to say that previously we had mentioned that the Wiz in Westboro, Route 9 East, was a drop-off location for Toys for Tots, but they needed all their donations by December 18th. Today's the 20th, in case you may be recalling. By the time you listen to this, it might be the 20th. Well, actually, it's after midnight, so it might be the 20th or 21st. So anyway, it's too late to give anything to the Wiz, which is my point. If you have any Wiz reward certificates or, you know, unwrapped toys or games or whatever, don't give it to them. It's too late for them. You know, Toys for Tots is taking stuff and doing everything. However, if you just want to go to the Wiz because you want to go to some events, they have some stuff coming up that I want to give heads up on. January 1st, which I know might be tough because it's, you know, New Year's, but January 1st, they're doing what they're calling a New Acquaintances Tournament for Warhammer 40K. Registration starts at 9 o'clock, games start at 10 a.m. until, you know, everyone's done. It's $10 to enter. It's going to be a Warhammer 40K tournament, 3-round Swiss pairing. You need to have a 2,200 or 2,250 point force from any current codex or PDF, but, and this is the thing to keep in mind, you have to include at least one unit that you acquired or received during the month of December. So the idea is that maybe you got a gift in December, someone gave you a unit, maybe they gave you a gift certificate to the Wiz, to True, or Gaming Store near you, and then you bought a unit or whatever. So at least one of those units in your army of 2250 points has to be a unit that you received or acquired during the month of December. And Sally is still going at it. I'm sorry to Chris Walsh and Lynn Walsh at the Wiz, who are the owners of the store, for my bunny interrupting my announcement on your New Acquaintances journey. But anyway, prizes for this, there's going to be a few different prizes. Top general is game results plus sportsmanship scores. There's going to be a painted raffle for the new unit, the one that you had acquired or received in the month of December. And then there's going to be one ticket awarded for every painting point scored, plus an additional 5 tickets if the new unit was acquired from the Wiz. They're going to, you know, tell that based on your... Wow, I'm really sorry. Both buddies are going at it. They're going to be able to tell if your new unit was acquired from the Wiz based on a gift receipt or an actual receipt. So anyway, that's something to keep in mind. If you play 40K, if you live in Central Mass, if you live in Eastern Mass, if you live in Mass, one, you need to go to the Wiz. It's a fantastic store. I've talked about it before on the blog and the podcast. They are an example of a store that does everything right. Of course, they're my number one pick for a brick-and-mortar store for Flames of War, because they have it all. They're very knowledgeable. They're perfect. Well, I shouldn't say perfect. Nobody's perfect, but they're excellent. But if you're just anywhere in the area or you know where Route 9 is, go to Route 9 East in Westboro, the Wiz. Go January 1st, play in their New Acquaintances tournament. I believe you probably might even have to register before the event so they get an idea. So please do that, and you can get in touch with them a bunch of ways. But one way would be going to wiznet.com. If you want to find out more about the tournament, I suggest that you give them a phone call at 508-366-2030. Also, on January 8th, they do what they're calling a Softcore 75 Warmer Hordes event. And that's basically a combination. It's an event where you can either play using War Machine and or Hordes models. It starts at, registration starts at 9:30 on January 8th. Game starts at 10:30 a.m. until you're done. It's a $10 entry fee. You need to have a 75-point War Machine or Hordes force based off of using the hardcore rules, but minus the painting requirements. So that could be a good thing to do if you like playing War Machine or Hordes. They do weekly things all the time. Mondays, they do a miniatures painting. You bring, you know, your brushes, your paints, and your miniatures, and you can just kind of get together and paint. It's from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Just a bunch of guys or women, anyone, a bunch of people, a bunch of gamers getting together at the Wiz. Tuesdays, they do an open play for Warhammer 40K. They suggest that you have a 2,000-point list, but, you know, bring whatever you got. Just get together and play. Wednesdays, they play Spartan games, you know, things like Firestorm Armada or Uncharted Seas, or the new one, Dystopian Games, will be coming out soon. So I would imagine this would be added to the group. But any Spartan Games titles and or Malifaux, they play from 5 to 9 p.m. Also, they do open play on Wednesdays for Warhammer Fantasy. 2250 points is recommended, but bring whatever you got. That's 5 to 9 as well. And they do D&D encounters every Wednesday, 5 to 9. They have two full groups running, but please give them a call to find out about additional space. On Thursdays, they do War Machines / Hordes of Knights. It's an open play. Usual size games are 35 points, but, you know, bring what you got and you can set something up. Friday, like every Friday at almost every game store I can think of, is Friday Night Magic. They start at 6 until it ends. It's 4 rounds of play. The first Friday of the month, they do a booster draft. That's a $15 entry fee. Third Friday of the month is Sealed Deck, which is a $25 per person entry fee. And every other Fridays is a standard tournament, $7 entry. Saturdays is Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments, 6 to 8 p.m. It's not a sanctioned tournament, but you can go and you can have some fun. It's $6 entry. And Sundays, Flames of War, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Again, that's free. It's open play. Flames of War put out by Battlefront Games, which was, you know, done with co-founder Dion Dion Holzwich, who is a member of our blog and may be appearing on the podcast in the future. So that's a quick rundown on The Wiz. And speaking of gaming in the area, I also want to give a highlight, of course, to Battleground Games and Hobbies, located in Plainville and in Abington at the original store. On Sunday, January 23rd, at the Plainville location, for all of you Flames of War fanatics, that's going to be a very special Flames of War event. It's going to be simulating the Battle of Kursk. To quote from the posting by Major Milo, a.k.a. John Milo, from the Battleground Games and Hobbies blog, message board, I'm sorry. It says, German forces are driving east against strong Soviet resistance. As the German armored juggernaut began to advance, Russian armor also rolling forward launched an immediate counterattack. It's looking for both German and Allied players. There's going to be some special rules to reflect historical accuracy for July 11th, 1943. John Milo has those special rules, and I'll see if I can get a copy of them to put on the blog so that you can get a copy through us electronically. But you can get them from him on Wednesdays prior to January 23rd. Like I said, I play with the gaming group. He's actually part of this gaming group. We rotate between Plainville and Abington on Wednesdays. This coming Wednesday, if we're playing, because it's Christmas week, but if we're playing, I believe we'll be in Abington, so you could get them there. But basically, the troop selection is a force of 1,500 points using any Flames of War Intel handbook. You need to use it for 1942 or 1943. If you're using a specific type of unit that has two tables of organization, you know, one for 42 or one for 43, you have to use the one for 1943. Kursk was an all-German affair, so if you're playing as an Axis player, you're playing as Germans, you can choose any German or SS unit. The only foreign Axis force were the SS units, like the five SS Vikings. So again, you have to be Germans to play in this. No Romanians, no Italians, none of that kind of stuff. If you're playing as Allies, they want you to play as a Soviet force. So that's our hope. But you can also play using American or British models, but you're going to pay the cost for those as if they were normal Soviet units. So they would be paying a cost for lend-lease equipment for tanks or otherwise the normal stuff. And then there's going to be some prizes to the players on the winning side, and victory is going to be determined by objectives seized and enemy units destroyed. I've heard some of the behind-the-scenes, you know, planning for this. I've seen some maps for it. It looks really cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. I wish I'd be able to play, but I don't think I'll have my stuff ready in time. And actually, Sundays are tough because, like I've said before, that's when I do editing and post-production for this podcast. Instead, if possible, I'll get down to the event in Plainville and maybe do some live blogging and take pictures and stuff for the blog. So anyway, that's an event coming up at Battleground Games and Hobbies. As always, they do a bunch of stuff every week. Like, they are jam-packed. They do things both at Abington and Plainville. on Sundays in Abington, they do Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments at 12 noon. On Mondays, they do Open Gaming in Abington. 7 p.m. in Plainville is something else. What the heck is it? I'm sorry. It is... I don't know. I would look, but it looks like they're updating the calendar. Is Open Gaming, I believe. Sundays, they also do 1 o'clock D&D Arenas. Usually Tuesdays at 6:30 is Magic the Gathering's Elder Dragon Highland, EDH. In other words, casual play and D&D mini tournaments. I think they still do it at 7 o'clock. I believe both of those are in Abington. 6 o'clock on Wednesdays, both in Plainville and Abington, are board game night, basically, or historical gaming. Wherever the historical gaming group goes. Plus, in both locations, 7:30, I believe, is D&D Encounters. Thursdays, Open Gaming's. Fridays, it's Friday Night Magic. Again, they bounce back and forth between draft or standard. So you're going to want to check the stores for that. And Sunday, all day, is Warhammer Open Gaming, and at night is a Magic Draft Tournament. So if you want to find out more about what's going on at either of those locations, please call the individual stores. The phone number for Abington is 781-261-9669. You're going to talk to any number of people, but any one of them will be able to help you, whether it's Derek or Nick or Paul or Beth or I think that's everyone, but if there's anyone else, if you call in Plainville, you're going to call 508-316-1195. The store manager is Chase, who works every week, I think, but not on the weekends. But anyway, you probably get him, but you might get Matt or Sam. Any of them will be able to tell you what's going on. So just give them a call and see what's happening, and that'll give you the what's what for all the weekly events and stuff. But those are just some of the local stores near us here at the CWF Gamecast. We're actually headquartered out of the Plainville location of Battleground Games and Hobbies, so please head on over to them. This is Christmas week, so you might have some last-minute shopping to do. If you do, you know, you might be needing to purchase something for the gamer in your life, or maybe you're a gamer needing something for another gamer. But I just want to suggest that you head on over to our blog, because we do our annual, gift guide. We actually talked about it in episode 41 of the podcast, so you can download that if you haven't. Or, you know, go to the blog and look up episode 41 or look up Holiday Gift Guide. But Tom and I gave a bunch of different things that would be great gifts. There are a lot of good stocking stuffers, so I would suggest heading there and taking a peek. But just a brief recap, I want to give you some things that might be able to help for last-minute purchases. Glue, whether it's plastic glue or, you know, glue, super glue. Glue is perfect for any miniatures gamer. Dice. Chessex makes some wonderful 16mm D6 sets. They're perfect. Almost every game needs dice, and there are some games that you play only with dice, like, you know, 10,000, aka Farkle. So dice is perfect. There's all sorts of stuff to base miniatures with, whether it's Static Grass or any of the Woodland Scenics products. You can get those anywhere. You can still get them in time for the holidays. Boosters for any card games, perfect. That's something you can go and pick up. World of Warcraft, I'm a huge fan of it. I strongly recommend it. You can get the new Cataclysm expansion for, I think, like $50 maybe, which might be a little bit pricey. It's certainly not a stocking stuffer, but it's something to get. It's a next tier up. There's army books, whether it's for Flames of War, Warhammer 40K, Warhammer Fantasy, any of the other games out there. You know, there's army books for everything. Maybe they're digital downloads, maybe they're hardcovers. You know, just pick them up. It would be a great gift for someone. And then there's more expensive stuff. Some of these, you know, probably not so much, but their rule books for any of the games, like the core rule books, they're pricey. They can be pricey. And some of them come in, you know, box sets, starter sets for the games. It'd be a good thing to get for someone. It just, you know, I would recommend it. Games for video games, computer games, they can be pricey, but they're a lot of fun. So, you know, if you know someone and you know what type of game they like, it could be a way to go. If they're a really good strategy gamer, you might want to get them the new Civilization, or maybe they like the whole Age of Empires series, so they got all sorts of games based off of that. There's just all sorts of stuff like that, that you could go cases for models. All this kind of stuff is in our holiday gift guide. And, you know, if you go and look at our holiday gift guide, it's actually tagged on the blog as gift guide, I believe. And if you click on gift guide or you search for gift guide on our blog, wargamingforums.com, you're going to see the gift guides we have done throughout the years. So you can go and take a peek and see what some of the other things are that might be of interest to you, might help you out with your last minute shopping. So this is Christmas week, and I wish I could tell you that I knew whether or not we were doing another podcast episode, but I do not. Tom and I have to speak about that, and unfortunately, we haven't yet. But I'm thinking we probably won't, so I do want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday. I know not everyone celebrates Christmas, even though it's, you know, very commercialized and non-denominational, but I do want to wish everyone a very Happy Holiday. I'd like to close out this episode of the podcast, especially since we're getting to the 45 minutes now. I'd like to close out this episode of the podcast to just talk about a couple other brief items. One's a housekeeping kind of thing, and it actually ties into, well, another housekeeping thing in a shout-out, actually, which would be a good way to end the show on a positive note. So the housekeeping thing is, I've been doing this project for, I can't remember how long, actually, but I've been doing it ever since Word C has come out. And it's a stat card digitization project. And what I do is I digitize, you know, some of the stat cards from the game, but not, I don't completely digitize them because, again, the reason why I do this is so that I can give people flavor of the game and see if they would like it. And if they would, then, you know, they can get an idea of what they're getting into and then go and buy the stuff that they need. They buy the starter sets, buy the boosters. If they just need singles, they know what singles they might need because of what they might do by reading the flavor text, by reading the special abilities. So then they can go to their favorite place to buy singles on the secondary market and buy the units that they need. The whole purpose of this is to promote the hobby and to get people to be buying this product to support Wizards of the Coast, which would in turn, if they see good sales from the game, then more sets will get made. Richard Baker can then put more stuff out. So it's all to do that. It's not to, you know, circumnavigate anything. And of course, if anyone, if, you know, Wizards or whoever said, hey, take that down, we of course would. Don't do it for money. We don't do anything like that. But anyway, the housekeeping thing with this is, as I said, I've been doing this project for a while now, since the base set. And, you know, little hiccups happen now and again, try to get to them very quickly. But a couple days ago, Jim, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, but Jim left a comment on our blog on the Word C stat card section to say that he had some trouble with the zip card, zip file for, I think it was Task Force, because the Zukaku stat card wasn't included, but he managed to find it another way. But anyway, I have tried to resolve that issue, and I think I did. But I think it might still be missing. I'm not 100% positive. It has some problems with it, and every time I think I get it in there, it doesn't necessarily go in. So if you are trying to get at that, you're probably not going to be able to get it as a zip file. You'll get everything except that card, and you'll need to get that by looking at it on the blog, by going to the Task Force, I think it is, but it might be Flank Speed, Stat Card Gallery, and just taking a peek on there. So again, I want to apologize for the error and the problems, and I want to thank Jim for bringing it to our attention. As I said, every now and then, we have some issues with things. Maybe it doesn't load properly or whatever. And, you know, people let me know, and I get, you know, comments on the blog or emails or whatever, and try to address that. The stat cards are actually one of our biggest draws. We keep track of our stats using this thing called Woopra, W-O-O-P-R-A. And it's a good tracking software, but you can kind of see where people are going. And a lot of our unique visits are people looking up our stat cards, which is really cool. Word C is one of my favorite games out there. So it's nice to know that people like what we're doing. I think we're unique in what we're doing with this. I'm a big fan of the Word C, you know, the Axis and Allies Forum Mini. And we're in their editor's choice category, I believe we are, or at least our cards are, the digitized versions of them, I should say, are they link to us and everything. So people really like them and they use them and they found out about them from there. But I think they are our most popular part of the blog. So it's a cool thing that we do. It's a lot of fun. And with this, I want to say that we don't have set 5 out yet. I have just completed set 5 thanks to 12-7-games.com, who is, of course, our sponsor. But I just completed that, and I haven't gotten around to digitizing anything. I probably won't until after the holidays because it's a hectic time of year. But they will be forthcoming, and when they do, they'll be put up. We'll be tracking them in the comments on the blog and all that. And I don't know if I'll talk about it on the podcast, really, but they'll be on the blog, and you know, they'll be there. But anyway, speaking of 127games.com, I want to give a big shout-out to Bill Detmers, who's the owner, and, of course, to 127games.com, who is our sponsor, but even if they weren't, I want to still give them a shout-out, because I have purchased some Set 5 stuff from them, and when I opened it, I actually opened a booster. I bought some singles to finish off my set, because I got some stuff from them. I got some stuff from local gaming stores, Battleground Games, I think, actually. But anyway, I opened a booster from them, and when I opened it, I pulled out the stuff. I shook out the models, actually, and then I pulled out the cards, and they were all bent in half. Like they looked like a U, actually. They were still in the plastic, but the plastic and the cards bent in a U, and I was kind of disconcerted about it. So I emailed Bill, and I thanked him for the speedy service. It was very, very fast. Excuse me. So, like I said, it was very fast. But then I told him what was going on, and I asked him what he thought I should do. So he told me that there were a couple options, that I could either go to Wizards, but it takes forever, that they're, you know, they're really good, and they throw in some extra stuff to apologize, or I could just go through him. So I sent the cards back to him, and he told me, I haven't got them yet, but I know they'll be coming, because Bill is a honorable and trustworthy guy, and 127 Games is a wonderful business to do business with. But he is sending me replacement cards from his own collection. I've never ever heard of any other business doing anything like this. It's unheard of. It really is. But he's replacing my damaged cards with, you know, ones in good condition from his own collection. He has a very large collection of Wordsy stuff. And he's just doing it to, well, because he's a good guy is what it is. He's a good guy. He's has wonderful customer service, some of the best I've ever seen anywhere. And he's doing it to be a good guy. You know, some people might think it's, well, it's because he sponsors your blog and the podcast and all you do, and you say good things and you drive business to him. And hopefully we do. I wish we could drive even more business to him, because 127 Games is really fantastic. And I'm not saying that because they sponsor us. I'm saying it because they are fantastic. Whether they sponsored us or not, I would still say good things about them. I would still promote them. I would still say positive remarks about them to everyone. He's just doing it because he's a good guy, and he wants me to be a happy customer. And he does this, I believe, with everyone. When I say he does this, I don't necessarily mean that he gives stuff from his own collection to everyone. I mean he goes that extra mile to provide excellent customer service to make you, the customer, happy. So if you're looking to buy any Wordsy stuff, please go to 127 Games, because they're fantastic. And of course, we're going to have the whole sponsor blurb at the end of the podcast episode, so you can hear a whole thing there on how they're fantastic and cheap prices and blah, 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 blah. And that's all true. But I just want to say, you know, this is an example of how they're so good. And this time of year, especially, you go on, you do shopping and whatever, maybe you shop online or wherever. And I don't know if you've noticed, but customer service isn't always that great. And times are still tough. So it's even more important for companies to go that extra mile to get your business, to validate you shopping there, and to say thank you, basically, for giving them this business. Tonight, my wife took me to a concert for my birthday. My birthday's on the 22nd. I'm going to be turning 29. But took me to the Yule Ball 2010 in Boston. And the Yule Ball is a concert for Wizard Rock, which is basically rock and roll music, either about or based around the Harry Potter characters in the books as created by J.K. Rowling. If you're thinking, wow, that sounds really nerdy, it is. I like it. I like how they promote reading. I like how they promote equality. I don't want to get into politics, but, you know, they do a lot of good equality kind of things. They try to help one another. It's just, it's a really good place to be. It's fun. It's funny. It's just really good. So while I was there, and actually I don't remember where I was going. Oh, I know where I was going with this. Sorry. But while I was there, I purchased the new Whomping Willows CD, Wizard Party Forever. And they're a group, actually, it's a guy from Rhode Island. I'm trying to remember if he lives in Providence or not, but anyway, he's from Rhode Island. But I went over to the merchandise table while the Math, the band, actually was playing. And I got a t-shirt for my wife and a t-shirt for myself from the Potter Puppet Pals. And yes, they were live at the Yule Ball. And yes, Potter Puppet Pals are better in person than they are on YouTube or anywhere online. If you haven't seen them in person, you haven't truly lived. But that's besides the point. The point is, I bought the new Wampin' Willows album, Wizard Party Forever. And if you haven't, please do. If you're a fan of Harry Potter, you should be listening to the Wampin' Willows, Draco and the Malfoys, Harry and the Potters, of course. All of these bands, they're just fantastic. But I bought it, and the guy who is Wampin' Willows, it's Matt. Matt, I can't ever pronounce your last name. I'm really sorry. Matt Majocomo, I believe. Majocomo, sorry, is his name. But he's the one who actually took my money and helped me out. And, you know, other bands were playing, and it was really loud and stuff. But I gave him my money, and he gave me a really sincere, heartfelt thank you. And I know this is a smaller enterprise. It's just a guy. And all these bands are just one or two people, usually. And, you know, you're talking small potatoes. It's 10 bucks or a CD or whatever. But, you know, it makes a difference. And they're not getting rich off this stuff or whatever, but every sale really makes a difference. So his thank you, his heartfelt thank you, meant a lot to me. It told me that, you know, I really appreciate you doing business with me. I really appreciate you coming and being interested in what's going on. So something like that is going to cause me to go back and to buy an album again from him next time, or to buy other merchandise from him. You know, if he was indifferent or whatever, I probably wouldn't. So going that extra mile, providing good customer service, whatever your industry is, whether it's because you're a wizard rock musician or whether it's because you're an online vendor of historical gaming product or a big company like Wizards of the Coast or Games Workshop or Battlefront Games or whoever, or an independent retailer like, you know, The Wiz or Battleground Games and Hobbies or Your Move Games or any Pandemonium Books and Games or any of these places. Customer service is really important now more than ever, so good customer service is something to be appreciated, rewarded, and nourished and nurtured. And hopefully it continues to grow. So I just want to say thank you and a big two thumbs up and a huge shout out to Bill Detmers of 127games.com. I don't think, Bill, that you actually listen to the podcast. I know you're not into the whole Web 2.0 kind of stuff. So I'm not sure you follow us on the podcast. I know you take a peek at the blog, but I'm not sure if you follow the podcast. But if you are, thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it. And if not, you've got an email from me thanking me. Emails from me thanking you. And I just want to say thank you again. So anyway, I want to close out and wish everyone a very happy holiday season. No matter what you celebrate or don't celebrate, it's a good time of year to really appreciate your fellow man and fellow woman and fellow animal. You should appreciate everyone all year long, and you should try to help other people, help those in need. Help those less fortunate, be good, you know, all the golden rule stuff. It's true, it's cliched, it's corny, but it's absolutely true. But it's nice to have a time of year where an emphasis is placed on that. So I just want to say thank you to everyone. I really want to thank everyone who listens to the podcast, everyone who goes to the blog, everyone who sends a comment to us or gets involved in some way. It means the world to us. It helps us know what you want to hear about. It helps us know how we're doing. It's really important. We can't do this in a vacuum. We need you to get in touch with us. We need your emails. We need your comments. But whether it's good, bad, or ugly, whatever it is, it helps. So we're really appreciative. So in closing, for real this time, I want to thank you. But also I want to say, and this is, maybe I should put this at the beginning of a podcast. Perhaps I will the next podcast. But this is something for all of you listeners. We're looking to change the name of the podcast. The name CWF Gamecast has kind of lost meaning. So we're looking for something, you know, that encompasses what we do. And maybe is more descriptive so people can just look at the name and be like, hey, this looks like it might be interesting. It tells me what I need to know about, what they're going to talk about, and then we're going to want to listen to it. So it's something that we're going to use on the podcast. We'll use on t-shirts. We'll use on branding, you know, graphics and all sorts of stuff and business cards and everything. So we need your suggestions for names for the podcast because we're going to rename it. If we take your suggestion, or if your suggestion strongly influences the name that we end up picking, we will send you one of our t-shirts. We don't have them made yet because we're waiting for the name, but they're in the process, and when they're ready, we will send it to you. Excuse me. So if you have suggestions, please send them to us. You can email them to us at cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. You can put them on our blog, which is wargamingforums.com. Leave them in a comment to just about anything, although they probably work best as a comment to a podcast episode. Or if you head on over to Facebook, you know, facebook.com, and then search for us on there, CWF Gamecast. You can leave it as a message on our Facebook page and just give us some names. We already have some showing up already, I believe. Some people have given some. And I can't remember what they are, but we've had a few. So please put them there. And like I said, if we pick the name you give, or if we are heavily influenced by it for what we do pick, we'll send you a free t-shirt. You know, what's better than that? I like t-shirts, and I think everyone does. They're pretty cool. They go with just about anything. You dress them up, dress them down. But we'll send you one of our free t-shirts as a thank you. So that's about it. As always, I'm going to close out. And once again, wish everyone a very happy holiday season and say thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be coming back in future episodes talking about all sorts of stuff. I can't tell you right now what that will be, but rest assured we're going to talk about Flames of War. I want to bring up Combat Storm, which is a classic Army Men kind of game. Talk about that. Talk about more Word C. Talk about World of Warcraft. Talk about things going on here in New England. There's conventions coming up and all sorts of stuff. So we'll be doing that in future episodes. Plus, we're going to have more guests coming on. We have a whole lineup of guests that we're working on. So we'll have all that. So once again, thank you. And as always, I am Jonathan J. Reinhardt signing out for the CWF Gamecast. Keep on gaming. The CWF Gamecast is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com. Look for the CWF Gamecast online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. You can learn more about this episode by visiting the show notes on our blog. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.